scriptures listed, and there's a reason for that. These are three different versions of what has been called the healing of Bartimaeus. So first we'll read from Matthew 20, verses 29 through 34. As they were leaving Jericho, a large crowd followed him. There were two blind men sitting by the roadside. When they heard that Jesus was passing by, they shouted, "Lord, have mercy on us, Son of David!" The crowd sternly ordered them to be quiet, but they shouted even more loudly, "Have mercy on us, Lord, Son of David!" Jesus stood still and called them, saying, "What do you want me to do for you?" They said to him, "Lord, let our eyes be opened." Moved with compassion, Jesus touched their eyes. Immediately, they regained their sight and followed him. Now, Mark 10, 46 through 52. They came to Jericho as he and his disciples and a large crowd were leaving Jericho. Bartimaeus, son of Timaeus, a blind beggar, was sitting by the roadside. When he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout out and say, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Many sternly ordered him to be quiet, but he cried out even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and said, "Call him here." And they called the blind man, saying to him, "Take heart, get up, he is calling you." So throwing off his cloak, he sprang up and came to Jesus. Then Jesus said to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "My teacher, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him on the way. And finally, Luke 18, 35 through 43. As he approached Jericho, a blind man was sitting by the roadside begging. When he heard a crowd going by, he asked what was happening. They told him, "Jesus of Nazareth is passing by." Then he shouted, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." Those who were in front sternly ordered him to be quiet. But he shouted even more loudly, "Son of David, have mercy on me." Jesus stood still and ordered the men to be brought to him. And when he came near, he asked him, "What do you want me to do for you?" He said, "Lord, let me see again." Jesus said to him, "Receive your sight. Your faith has saved you." Immediately he regained his sight and followed him, glorifying God, and all the people, when they saw it, praised God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We have been, during our Lenten journey, taking a look at the acts of Jesus in the last days of his life. And so the first week of Lent, we took a look at the fact that Jesus prayed to the Father. He went to the Garden of Gethsemane and he prayed. He poured out his heart and his soul to God. And he demonstrated this to the disciples who he was trying to teach to stay awake and to pray as well. The second week, we talked about Jesus as he sat around the table with his disciples. There was no one present to wash their feet. And so Jesus wrapped a towel around his waist and he served his friends, doing the job that only the lowest servant would do, showing us, brothers and sisters, that we are to serve as he served, finding those, the least, the forgotten, and taking care of them, serving them. And so today we come to these passages and we see that Jesus is healing. He's bringing healing to, in one account, blind Bartimaeus, and in another account, a blind beggar, and in the other account, two blind strangers. We don't know who they were. Now, the thing what Jesus is teaching us in each of these passages, although they were written by different individuals, is that we are called to show mercy. In every passage, it says that Jesus saw someone in need and he demonstrated mercy. They said, "Have mercy, Jesus, have mercy on us." And he paused. And even when there were others saying, "No, no, don't do that. Don't talk to Jesus. Stay back." Jesus made the effort, an intentional effort, to speak to the one who was calling to him. So we know that Jesus is merciful. And we know that Jesus is calling us to be merciful. We know also that Jesus was compassionate. In Matthew, it says he showed compassion. He showed compassion to one in need. And we know that Jesus is also calling us, church, to be people of compassion. Now, we are learning that we are to be compassionate. We're learning that we are to be merciful. We are also learning with all three of these passages that we are to be persistent. We are to be persistent. Because these individuals who needed something from Jesus didn't give up. They weren't shooed away. You know, when they said, "Just back up, stay away," they continued to call out to Jesus. And we are to be compassionate, we're to be merciful, we are also to be persistent. We're to be persistent in our prayers. We're to be persistent in our service. Even when someone doesn't show gratitude, we are to continue to serve. We are to be consistent in everything that we do and persistent. Because that's what wins the race. And Jesus shows us that over and over again. In so many of the other scriptures in the Bible, someone has to be persistent. And so we know that we're to do that. And then finally, if you look in Luke, you see that Jesus says to the gentleman, "Your faith has saved you. Your faith has saved you." And in Mark, Jesus says, "Your faith has made you well." So we know that there's a component of our faith involved in what Jesus is doing in our lives. It's if we don't have faith in Jesus Christ, if we don't believe in him, then we can ask and we can ask, but it's to no avail. We have to have faith, even if it's the size of a little mustard seed. Sometimes mine's been that small. We are to have that much faith when we call out and we ask Jesus to save us or to heal us or to help us. Now, you know, I am a complete firm believer that Jesus still heals today. I believe that. Now, people ask me all the time, "Well, what about the person that didn't get healed?" I don't know. I don't have the answer to that. I don't know what it is. But I know that the purpose of Jesus' healing was not to get more followers, not to have larger and larger crowds follow him, but to bring glory to his Father. Remember the first week when I was talking about prayer? We pray, "Thy will be done," when we pray. Because God is to receive the glory for the answers to prayers. And in our service, we serve not to be saved, not to do good works, but to bring glory to the Father. We serve. And so also, when we are praying for healing, we are praying with faith and we are giving glory to the Father. That is the reason that healing happens, is to bring glory to our Heavenly Father. It's so beautiful when people in the scriptures are healed and they do say thank you or they praise God. It's so rare because 9 go one way and 1 stays and says thank you. So we are to glorify God. We are to glorify God as he brings healing. Jesus is God's son and he is full of power. And his name is still full of power to this day. I love the fact that some of the commentaries were telling me that Jesus was coming at this point, and this scripture is the first to say that Jesus is from the root of Jesse. He is recognized as David's kinsfolk, as the one who has come, who has fulfilled the prophecy. And so we know that he fulfills the prophecy that's found in Isaiah 4:18. It says, "He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovering of sight to the blind." And so he's fulfilling the prophecy that God made through Isaiah about him. So this is a beautiful thing to see. Finally, towards the end of Jesus' life, someone is recognizing that Jesus is the one who fulfills prophecy. He is the one that was promised by the Father. That is a great thing. Now, I said to you just now that I believe that we are called to do as Jesus did. We are called to be a part of all that Jesus is doing here and now. And so how are we, brothers and sisters, to be a part of healing? How are we to do that? Some of you may be a doctor. I don't think Dr. Patu's here today, but you may be in the medical field, and you may be on a daily basis a part of healing. How are we who are not in the medical field to be a part of bringing healing to other people? How are we to do that? Well, we are to do that through prayer. We can pray for people and God hears our prayers. I believe with all my heart that not one prayer goes unheard. And as we pray, it touches our lives, but it touches the person's life that is being prayed for. I love this study. I've known about this for quite a while. Dr. Harold Koenig out of Duke University did a double-blind study for those who receive prayer. And one group received prayer, and they knew about it. And the other group received prayer, and they didn't know about it. And the third group did not receive prayer. So the third group didn't get prayer. One group got prayer and knew about it. The other group got prayer but did not know about it. So in this study, the ones who showed improvement time and time again were the ones who had gotten prayer. The ones who knew about it and got prayer, and the ones who didn't know about it but got prayer. They improved. They improved physically, they improved spiritually, and they improved mentally. And this just blew the scientific community away when they saw this study, because it was very, very well done. So prayer makes a difference in people's lives. They've done other studies since this time. And even if the one we're praying for, like the people in Ohio, don't know that we're praying for them today, they will be blessed by God, because God hears our prayers. And God recognizes our faith that he will hear prayers. And so we are a part of the healing that takes place, whether it be spiritual healing, mental healing, or physical healing. We're a part of that. We are also a part of healing as we go, and we bring the light of Christ with us when we go. Many of you go to visit people in the hospitals. You've gone way before I ever came here. You'll go way after I'm gone. You're going to visit people. And when you bring Jesus into that room, it helps their healing. And when you pray for that person, you are giving glory to God. And it makes a big difference in that person's life. So we are called to do that. We're called to visit the people who are homebound and don't have anybody else to pray for them. We're called to visit the people in the nursing homes that don't have anybody else. We're called to do that. One of the great things that we started was this ministry to the little children over at Murray Medical Center with the stuffed animals. It has a component of Jesus in it because it has John 3:16 on the tags that were made, which is a lovely thing. And the chaplain prays with every child that receives one of them. So that is a way that we can be a part of the healing that's happening now. God is so good, and he's so faithful. And when we pray, he hears us. I just want to close by sharing with you a wonderful answer to prayer that we had We've been praying on Thursdays in our little prayer group, and one week we prayed for our student in Zambia. We have a student, Mwamba Ilunga, in Zambia, and we have been giving towards his education. It started with the revival back fall a year ago when Pastor Charles was with us, and it's been going on ever since. And Mwamba Ilunga is such a fine young man. He is such a fine young man. He's smart. He is just great in his ability to speak English and write English. I am amazed. Today, I think he's probably done a better job than I have. But you know what? He's smart and he has faith in God. And he is studying really hard, and he just continuously sends his thanks in our direction. And I got so surprised recently when he sent me a message. You know, he texted me, and I'm thinking, how is this happening from Zambia? I just don't understand how the technology has progressed so much since I was there, and we're getting messages. And so I said, oh, Mwamba, it's so good to talk with you. How are things going? He said, school is great, and he's doing really well, and he's so thankful for the support that's coming from this church to help with his education. And I said, well, what can we pray for you? And I expected him to say, well, that I'll do well in my studies, or that, you know, that maybe I'll have all the financial support that I need or whatever. I expected that, but that didn't come. He said to me, oh, he said, my father has been sick since 2006. He's not been able to walk, and he has not been able to sleep well. Please pray for my father. And so I said, yes, we will do that. And we prayed for him in prayer group. And then it was a day or two later, I get this message from him. It was so beautiful. He said, oh, I can't believe it. I can't believe it. I'm so excited. I'm so excited. He said, my father is walking. My father is walking. Praise God, praise God, praise God, he said. And it's just all the way across the paper. Praise God, praise God. He was so excited. And I was so excited. And I thought, what a wonderful God we have. They don't have the medical treatment that we have here in America, over in Zambia. There was no other hope for this man. But God did this for him. And I believe it. I believe that our God continues to heal. I believe our God continues to hear our prayers. I believe our God continues to use us in service. Brothers and sisters, how can we follow the example of Jesus Christ? We can also be a part of his healing power in this world, whether it be a person's spirit, whether it be their soul, whether it be their mind, whether it be their body. We can be a part of that as we go to God in prayer. And let us remember always to give God the glory.